Episode number 14, pal, and we are getting right to it. Brandy, Q&A's. Let's hear it.
All right. Our first question is from Dustin Sixkiller on Facebook. He wants to know, is it better to blend or juice veggies and fruit?
Both. By blending, I'm assuming you mean taking the entire product, blending it inside a blender, you know, and then liquefying it, adding water or, you know, another liquid to it and drinking it in whole that way. Or juicing, where you put in the juice extractor like Jack LaLanne is known for, and it basically shreds the material, you know, throws the raw part, you know, the pulp, the skin and, you know, whatever is left over, and just pulls out the juice. So, which is better? They're both good. There are benefits to both. I do both. I lean more towards the full blending. I have a Vitamixer. You know, why waste it? I want to get all the nutrients that I can.
Okay, our next question is from Ricky Bobby Planis from Facebook. He says, I just purchased all three of the books. I listened to your podcast and I'm feeling really pumped up. I was curious as to what I should do first, 3 weeks to Shredded or start the Living Lean Diet. I know the principles overlap, but should I focus on getting healthier first and when I'm in better shape, do the Shredded book?
Well, hey, what's up, Ricky? Good question. I get that question quite a bit. You know, we have a few different books out there, and which one should you start with? Now, 3 weeks of Shredded is real sexy because you're going to lose a dramatic amount of weight in a short period of time, but it's not a sustainable lifestyle. You know, it's not something that I would certainly suggest. It's not something I do. You know, I do that, you know, two or three times a year, let's say. So Living Lean, that's truly the lifestyle book, and that's the foundation. That's the way I live. You know, that's why I wrote that, and that's what I talk about in Living Lean. That's the way I live. But every so often when I really want to lean out, you know, I got a competition coming up or, you know, just what have you, then I'll go on the 3 weeks to Shredded program. So that's the way I build it. Now, some people, they want to get a jump start. They really want to just, you know, hit the ground running, or they're already living a pretty good lifestyle, close to Living Lean. So they'll jump in with 3 weeks to Shredded, you know, get things moving, and then they'll transition back and implement some of the lessons that I share in Living Lean.
Our next question is from Derek Landry on Facebook. He wants to know, what are your thoughts on organic cow's milk, specifically as a post-workout replacement for whey powder? Thanks. Love what you guys are doing.
Hey, thanks, Derek. You know, cow's milk, I don't recommend it now at this stage, but I was a big advocate of cow's milk when I was growing up, you know, when I was in my teens, into my early to mid 20s, you know, when I was training as a power lifter, when I was training as a strength athlete. I drank a lot of milk. There was, you know, certain points I drank a gallon of milk per day, whole milk for a while. And I was putting on weight as a kid, you know, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, the body, there's so many hormones, you know, we're just growing. We're in that total anabolic phase. And I would, you know, myself and my training partners, you know, all, you know, high school kids and, you know, competitive strength athletes also at that time. And, milk is cheap. You know, milk, it was, I think 1 gram of protein per ounce, you know, so we drink as many ounces of milk as we can, and we just count the protein, you know, a glass of milk, 8 ounces, you know, eight grams of protein in each. And, that was kind of the knuckleheaded meathead, concept. So, you know, I can't say don't do it and point my finger at you, but I think there's better ways, you know, maybe not on a gram per ounce, maybe not even on a, convenience, you know, just pick up a gallon of milk is easy. You can get it at a gas station. You can get it, you know, anywhere. Kind of being a little more specific with your post-workout rehydration, post-workout nutrition, takes a little more planning before you leave the house. But I think, you know, what there's a few different issues. Let me slow it down for a second. A few different reasons why I don't recommend milk now. And the biggest reason is just because of the sanitary conditions, the hygiene, the treatment of the animals, and the enhancements to the animal's product before it actually gets to my house. There's just so many chemicals and, you know, bacteria and possible viruses and all these things that just get, you know, put into the milk supply. And that's why I stay away from it. As we get, you know, farther down the food chain to what you're talking about, Derek, is organic. So now we're saying, all right, we're assuming that everything is absolutely perfect. They're probably not free range or you know, wild, certainly, but they're treated in a very natural manner, in a humane manner. Now it gets down to more of the digestive issue of milk. Milk is very hard for many people to break down. We've all heard of lactose intolerances or, you know, dairy issues, things like that. That's because of lactose, which is contained in milk. Lactose is a sugar. And what the problem is with this sugar, the body needs specific enzymes. We need specific enzymes to break this sugar down. Lactase is that enzyme. Now, do we produce enough lactase to break down the lactose? I mean, that's really the equation. That's why we have all these issues. And as we age, as we get older, as we get out of our, you know, when we're first born, you know, we're eating milk. We're sustaining our lives on our mother's milk. All animals are as we go through the process. And we're able to break it down because that's all we break down. But then we stop relying on milk and mother's milk, and we start, you know, diversifying our food sources, and our digestive environment changes with us. It evolves with us to best accept the new nutrients and break down and absorb and do its job. So we lose the ability to break down the lactose. Some of us, you know, many of us actually, it seems to be, and it's worldwide. It's just part of our species. That we can't break it down. And that's my next issue with cow's milk. It's hard to break down. And I'm not lactose intolerant. But if I have too much milk, too many, you know, too much dairy, and probably a lot less than the average person, then I'll feel it. I'll slow down. I'll feel a little sluggish. It'll be a little harder for me to digest even my healthy meals that come after. I'll see it a little bit, my performance, maybe even, you know, my breathing, saliva, you know, my sinuses. I'll notice little things like that. Not nearly as bad as, you know, many people that are considered lactose intolerant. So there's a few dairy products that, you know, I do, you know, rotate through my lifestyle. And that's, I'm Italian, and fresh mozzarella is, you know, if you're going to have a cheese, I always say have a white cheese. And if you're going to have a white cheese, well, you got to have, you know, fresh mozzarella. You can't beat it, in my opinion. But not in excess. Greek yogurt, you know, that's, you know, one of our recipes, and that's mixed into quite a few of our recipes. I mean, that's a great addition if you use it properly. You know, it's not something that I eat every day or suggest anyone eat every day, but a couple times a week I'll make some blueberry madness, you know, at night before bed, which is awesome. Or you can turn it into an ice cream, things like that. So, Derek, back to the organic cow's milk. That's my take on it. Post-workout nutrition, no. I mean, unless if you're a kid, and I don't recommend it for kids, but I was a kid and did it. You know, I got strong. But then I had to pay the price, you know, a little while later because I was less healthy than I could have been. And that's what I've been, you know, working towards now.
Okay, Kirk Harrod asked, Mr. Dolce, I just bought your book and I'm excited to get started. I have two questions. One, I cannot stand the taste of salmon, tuna, or basically any oily fish. Should I take fish oil supplements? And then a second question is, I've never been a morning eater, and I know that is very important to you. It seems that every bite in the morning just gets bigger in my mouth as I chew. I've even tried eating lunch-type foods that I like, but to no avail. Any suggestions for eating in the morning? Will I get used to morning eating? Thanks.
All right, Kirk. Yeah, first question is, you're not a fish eater, and that's fine. You don't have to, certainly, specifically if, you know, it makes you, you know, feel ill. And yes, you would be a great candidate to use some sort of, you know, high quality fish supplement or fish oil. You know, of course, no problem with that. And that's really supplements. I say, you know, I'm a food advocate, a whole food advocate, an earth grow nutrient advocate. I always talk about food first, but I always say there's certain times, there's certain, you know, geographical reasons or external circumstances that don't allow us to get the essential nutrients that we need. Now, not want products, not things that we want. You know, I would love to have chocolate cake. No, not that, but essential nutrients that we need for, you know, vital biological function. And if you cannot get enough fish oil in your diet, well, certainly, you know, you should find a high quality fish oil supplement. So yeah, I'm all for that. So don't, you know, don't become deficient in areas because you stick to the earth grown nutrient dogma, which you should. That should be the primary principle. You know, that's the number one principle, and then we go down the list from there. And eventually, you get into supplemental fish oils and certain vitamins, you know, vitamin D. That's another one that, you know, a lot of people, you know, don't get enough vitamin D, specifically in the winter, in the darker times of years. So, I mean, that's a great supplement to take. I take that, you know, at certain times of year when I'm traveling a lot and, you know, I'm not exposed to the sunshine. Here's what I always do, typically do, to the best of my ability I do. This is the 80%+ of the time. I get 15 minutes a day and I go outside and I take my shirt off. Hot, cold, you know, not being creepy dude in a parking lot, you know, staring into the ballet studio.
Liar.
Well, it was at one time. But just getting 15 minutes staring up to the sun, getting some good quality sunshine. It's a great, I actually mix that into my midday, like, restoration, a little visualization, meditation, just some quiet time. Doesn't have to be metaphysical or a hippie or, you know, crazy psycho athlete. It can just be, you know, you relaxing outside. Get that sunshine in there, and that's been shown to dramatically increase your vitamin D production. Just getting outside and, you know, in the midday sunshine, anywhere between, let's say, 11 and 1 o'clock, when the sun is, you know, the highest point in the sky. That's the best time typically to do it. 15 minutes. And then you get a little color in your face, too. Come on. Don't be pasty.
What about breakfast?
Oh, breakfast. Now, with
breakfast. Can't forget breakfast, Mike.
I know. Breakfast is most important. Well, it was vitamin D. It was very, you know, I kind of sidewayed over to vitamin D, which is important because a lot of people get sick because they don't have enough vitamin D.
That's true.
You know, talk to your doctor about it, please. You know, get your blood work done. Check your vitamin D level. I mean, it's very, I'll bet you $1, not each one of you, but I'll bet $1 that, most people are deficient in vitamin D. Most healthy adults, quote, will be deficient in vitamin D as compared to most other, you know, vital stats. We'll look that up. We'll talk about that later. Anyway, to breakfast, eat 1 tablespoon today. Eat 1.5, 2 tablespoons tomorrow. That's it. Breakfast is a habit. Get in the habit of eating good meals, you know, good food at certain times throughout the day. Yes, I do believe in breakfast on most days. 80%+ of the time, 6 out of 7 days a week, and oftentimes, you know, 30 out of 30 days in my week, in my month. With that said, slowly build your way into it. You know, have something that you like, something that you find delicious. The breakfast bowl, everybody freaking loves. My breakfast bowl, everybody loves it. It's oats, it's berries, it's seeds, it's nuts. It can be honey and or agave. You can take a scoop of Greek yogurt, pop it on top, sprinkle some cinnamon on there, some raisins, some dried blueberries, fresh fruit. When fresh fruit's in season, god dang, it's freaking awesome. That's a great way to start. Just have a teaspoon, have a tablespoon. Start 1 today, 2 tomorrow. And just like we always talk about in the Dolce diet, we make consistent progress. We just move forward. We grind 1 inch forward. 1 inch forward, and we just keep digging and moving forward. That's it. We know where we're going, and now we're skewing. We just skew in that direction. A lot of times people, they try and start diets or lifestyle programs, and they jump in with both feet, and they go so crazy, and they totally change all their food and their training system, and they got a personal trainer and all that stuff. And what happens? Day 2, day 3, they freaking crash and burn because it's too much. Too much of a change. It was too overwhelming. You can barely, you know, get through the life right now that you have. And that's, you know, you pretty much have, you know, all the schedule down now, and it's a task to get through. You can't dramatically change it and expect to be successful everywhere. It's just not possible for none of us. You know, none of us are superhumans. Even great athletes, it takes them years and decades to build to being successful. So with this breakfast question, Kirk, just keep that in mind. Just start skewing. Earth grown nutrients, eating. Yeah, every 2 to 4 hours, what you just did, what you're about to do. And that's from the time I wake up. Now, sometimes I do schedule workouts, certain exercises, or, you know, things to do before I'll have that first meal. But again, over 80% of the time, my day always starts with breakfast. Always starts with water. First thing I do, 16 ounces of water. Wake up, you know, turn on the boiling pot, maybe brew up some coffee, and then make my breakfast, ease into the day. And I'll drink another 16-ounce bottle of water before I even have my first bite. But that's in the first 20 to 30 minutes of my day. I've drank 2 pounds of water, which is a quarter of a gallon. People say, oh, I can barely drink half a gallon or a full gallon a day. Come on. I start early and I just keep going. I see 16 ounces. I mean, for a grown man. And I know I'm skewing off your question here, Kirk, but 16 ounces of water is easy. I mean, it's like a shot. That's the way I look at it. So that'll help you guys also. Talking about doing shots of 16-ounce bottles of water.
And bopping it on top.
Bop, bop.
All right. Our next question is from Brian Brozy. He says,
hey, what's up, Brozy?
What's up, Brozy? He says, hey, Mike, love the podcast. I'm a college student and I'm doing my best to continue living lean against all odds on this meal plan that I must have. However, my question relates more to protein. I'm trying to add functional strength and mass to my body. Everyone has their different views on protein absorption. Honestly, how much protein is best for me to take in at a time without it being used for other things, such as it being turned into glycogen? Is there actually a limit? Since I am in college, I do have to resort to powders like hemp, whey, and caseins, and I usually go at about 30 grams of protein in each shake a few times a day. He says, P.S., I'm an undergrad currently at Auburn University studying nutrition. He says, you're an inspiration. I'm the one helping others around campus now. Two girls are following a program I created based off the principles of the Dolce diet to get fit for spring break. Can you say Broche diet? Boom. I truly can't thank you enough, and I hope to impact the world like you have. Thanks, man.
Brian, man, that was awesome. Thank you so much for reaching out, for your words. And hit me up, man. I'd like to talk to you, learn about you a little bit more, and see what you're doing out there. Very cool, very interesting. I'll hook you up with some of the doctors on our team and, you know, go and grow from there. Now, to answer your question, protein intake. Now, when I was younger, I spoke about that earlier. When I was younger, it was, you know, I was trying to get as much protein that I could, you know, in semi-quality, more in quantity form, so I could go, so I could grow. And that, I think, is a bad thing. Now, here I am, you know, as a grown-ass man, or pretending to be a grown-ass man. I think it's, I would have been a better athlete. I think I would have been much healthier. And I think it would have suited me much better if I went slower, cut my protein intake in half, but doubled the quality. And that's what I'm working on now. That's where, you know, books like Living Lean and our future books coming out. That's really what we do, is we talk about, you know, the health, the longevity side of lifestyle, and what that does to performance. And, you know, from a performance perspective, it's a no-brainer. I think there's no question that if you live with longevity in mind, elite athletics is very easy. And I think we prove that at this point with my stable of athletes now. And my athletes, they take in much less protein than the average athlete does. Specifically after we start working together, we discuss, you know, what the goals are, what we're trying to do. You know, we don't need to eat 2 grams of protein per pound of body weight, which is the typical rule. I mean, that's pretty much the common gym mantra. You see it in most magazines, most muscle and even health magazines. You pretty much see them skew towards 2 grams of protein per pound of body weight. For a 200-pound man, that's 400 grams of protein in a day. Come on now, that's crazy. You know what 400 grams of protein is a day? That's 10 meals a day with 40 grams of protein. Now think about that. That's a lot. I mean, you are constantly burdening your digestive system by trying to do that. What I suggest is take in much less than half, I mean, you know, of that equation. And my suggestion, what I found best on me personally, and I do, you know, I talk about me primarily. I was 280 pounds, and then I lost 110 pounds to compete at a very high level and be very healthy, you know, 280 to 170, and now I'm 195, 198. I feel absolutely amazing. So that's why I talk about this stuff. You know, the most important thing here is the quality of protein, specifically if you're trying to put on lean, functional, healthy muscle. That's what we're talking about. And reduce body fat to that 8 to 12% range, that ideal living lean percentage of body fat. That's what we want. Now you are a machine. You're a beast. If you want, if you have a sport specific goal, if you want to be an NFL lineman, if you want to be, you know, a world class power lifter or bodybuilder, or, you know, some other type of strength athlete, well, then it's a little bit different conversation. I mean, it's harder to gain that type of massive amount of muscle and strength unless your physical structure is already, unless you're born to be a 300-pound guy. You know, if you sit on the couch and drink beer, you just happen to go in the gym, squat some weights, and all of a sudden you're a 340 lineman. There's genetic freaks out there like that. We watch them every Sunday on TV. If you're not that guy, it's probably better to skew towards something a heck of a lot more healthy and functional that suits your body type. It suits your muscular elasticity and endurance, your cardiovascular endurance, you know, skew yourself in that direction. So, Brian, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm saying what's healthiest to do. Now, with the proteins, protein powders, I'm not really an advocate of it, you know. In college, drop the protein. I mean, cut it in half. This is what I suggest to start with. Cut it in half and see how you feel. You're taking 30 grams of protein. Cut it in half, but double the quality. Only use the hemp protein. Find the highest quality protein that you can. Spend the same exact amount of money that you have. Because I know you're in college, and you know money's always tight when you're studying. You're trying to do great things. Money's not the issue, the opportunity for you. So take that same money that you're used to spending and double it. Double the quality. Give it a little test and see how it works. Now from there, and I think that's going to work really well. Watch how your lifts increase. Watch your performance. Watch the quality of repetitions. Look at your cardiovascular output during training. Is it a little easier to breathe? You have a little better condition? Can you push the pace? Can you cut your rest time down just a little bit? Are your abs looking a little better? Are your jeans fitting a little differently? You know, kind of take that same mentality with everything you eat. You're in college. I know it's expensive. And you're eating that crappy, you know, meal card. We're coming out with a book on college students. You know, we're going to hook you guys up because I know we have our intern, our cousin is in college right now. And we've been, you know, we got some serious research going on. And we're going to help hook you guys up here real soon. As soon as we have a little bit of time, we got to take a few weeks to really attack it and make it quality for you. And then we'll get it out as soon as possible.
Next question. Jesse Gonzalez says, hello, Mr. Dolce. I've struggled with my weight my whole life. I've been in MMA since middle school, and anything related is hugely motivational to me. I started the lifestyle change today, and I had a question. I really like the HIIT program, but I'm currently 6'5 and 363 pounds with bad knees, and a size 16 shoe made it somewhat difficult to not step outside of the band on the treadmill. Is there a downside to doing HIIT on a stationary bike? Thank you for your time, and thank you for your books and knowledge.
Hey, Jesse, thank you for the question. And so you're a big guy. You're 6'3", you're over 300 pounds. Sounds like you're new to the health and the fitness lifestyle. You're trying to make some great changes. I'd say slow it down. I am an advocate of high-intensity interval training, not specifically HIIT all the time, but different variations. I vary the volume and the intensity of training, you know, either in the within the set, within the exercise, within the week, within the cycle, within the month, within the year. Certainly, you must waive the volume and the intensity in order to continually make progress. For you specifically, I'd say we want to start increasing our volume and keep the intensity real low right now. You're new to the game. You're a little bit heavier than your skeletal frame might be able to handle right now. If you start training intensely, the harder we train, the faster we train, the more prone we are to making mistakes, falling off balance, slipping, tweaking a shoulder. It happens. We're pushing too hard. We're not focused on precision. Right now, I would slow down. Start with longer walks. I mean, speak with your doctor. I'm sure you're under a doctor's care at this point. Speak with your doctor. Make sure all of this is approved. Make sure you can start exercising. Talk about the meal plan. Show them the Living Lean book. Say, Doc, what can I eat out of this book? What can't I eat? And then tell me what he says you can't eat or she says you can't eat. So I'd like to know because I think it's all pretty good stuff. But certainly bring them and ask them. And then start extending yourself. Extend yourself. Breathe, walk, keep your head up. Put the iPod on. Listen to the Mike Dolce show. Get out there on your street, walk around your neighborhood. Go down to the post office, what have you, and start to extend yourself. And you'll feel that little bounce in your step. You'll get that little pep in your step, and you're going to want to feel like, you know what, I can jog to the corner. I can jog down the street, or freaking, I'm going to enter a five-mile run or something else. That's when we start to pick it up. We get a little more intensely. Now, if I'm wrong here, if you're 6'3", over 300 pounds, and you're in great shape, you're ripped, well, then it's a different conversation. Get back to me. Tell me a little bit more about yourself because I like to hear. You know, sounds like then you'd be a freak, athletic freak. But I'm assuming, you know, that you're trying to get into that crazy shape, which you certainly can. But we slow and steady. That's the way. Slow, steady, progressive progress, sustainable progress. That's what we do here. We move forward one inch at a time. But when you're focused on the inches, the feet, the yards, they take care of themselves real quick. It's constant.
All right, our next question is from Christopher Eccles. He says, yo, Mike, I dropped 25 kilograms on Living Lean, and I'm sitting nice at 70 kilograms, but don't have the abs on show. How can I make my abs pop?
He dropped 55 pounds on Living Lean. He's now 70 kilograms, which is about 155 pounds or so. Just, you know, a kilogram is 2.2 pounds, roughly. 2.2046, actually, from my powerlifting days, ingrained into my mind. Every 0.046 mattered. But Christopher's saying, hey, Mike, you know, drop 55 pounds. He's now 155, feels great, but he doesn't have the abs he's looking for. What do I suggest make the abs pop? A lot of people have this question because they lose weight. They lose weight, but they don't quite see the abs that they have. A few things before we get started goes into this. Ethnicity. That it might sound weird. It's certainly not prejudice, but you look at guys like myself. You know, it's really hard for me to look as lean as my body fat level actually is because I come from an Italian, a Sicilian, and a Native American descent. We typically have thicker skin. You look at certain, you know, Mexican athletes, Mexican boxers. I mean, some of the greatest fighters in the world, greatest athletes in the world. I mean, amazing shape and strength and durability. But they never quite look as ripped as many of their counterparts in the same weight class, their peers. You know, you look at a lot of these guys, Irish guys are the same way. You know, super tough, amazing shape, but, you know, kind of looks, they look almost like soccer players, you know, or tennis players instead of elite fighters, world-class fighters, although they are, they destroy everybody. So, Christopher, keep that in mind, you know. The next thing is, well, tell me about the muscle of your abs, but specifically your core. Are you just doing sit-ups? Are you just doing crunches? I mean, that's a great start. Are you just doing kind of the basic calisthenics, which most people do? They do what they did probably in grammar school and high school gym class. They do some sit-ups, and they'll put their hands behind their back. They'll do these leg raises, and, you know, maybe they'll do, like, some, you know, twisting crunches, elbow-to-knee, you know, crunches, or it was bicycle kicks or something, getting really advanced there. That's a good start, but that's just a little bit. Now, when you focus on your abs, always focus on your core. When you think of a muscle, think of the muscle directly behind it. That's an important concept here when we're thinking about our abs. So the abs in the front that we all know, the six-pack, that's what we're all trying to get. We want to walk around the beach, you know, with our six packs, or at least have a nice six-pack behind the business suit, men and women, whatever, you know, behind the jeans and the polo shirt. It's always nice to have a six-pack. I'm just saying. The lower back now is extremely important, and in my opinion, more important than your abs, than the six pack. So the lower back, that's where your power comes from. That's where all your strength comes from, and that is the antagonist muscle to the abs. You need that fine balance. The stronger your lower back is, the stronger your abs, your six pack, will need to, but should be. If you have a strong lower back, you typically have a stronger or a very strong ab midsection, core, you know, this breaks down into different muscle groups. So you have the six muscles in the front, and then to the side where your ribs are, you have the intercostal muscles. Now they kind of go in and look a little, wires and kind of, you know, glistening wires. If you see like bodybuilders, they look like tendons. You can see the tendons in there. And then going down to the hip, you have the obliques. So those three basic, you know, main categories of ab muscles need to be trained in a very specific manner. I mean, it's like, you know, saying a marathon runner or a 40-yard sprinter train the same way. No, it's a world of difference. So these, in my opinion, those areas need to be trained, you know, specifically. They need to be targeted directly. And when you do so, then you'll really see your abs start to pop out. And this helps guys like me. I have, you know, my years of extreme strength training, I was able to develop a lot of, you know, big, strong, heavy, you know, man muscle that's just not going away. I haven't lifted heavy in probably over 2 years now. And I could still, you know, deadlift, you know, 500 pounds on most days, you know, and guys see that, you know, typically a few times a year. And that's, you know, stupid of me to do. You get caught up in the gym and you feel good, and, you know. You know, I could pretty much do that on most days and be sore, you know, for 4 days afterwards. But that's just because I built this man muscle. I mean, for 15 years or so, 10 years, you know, a solid 10 years, I was a strength focused athlete. But it's all in my back. I mean, it's in my back. It's in my obliques. I was a squatter and a deadlifter. That takes a tremendous amount of core strength. you know, someone, you know, great and wise powerlifter equated it to me because I was having a problem in my lift. Interesting story to some of you. I was a problem in my lift, the sticking point. You know, I'd be able to, you know, explode out of the hole. You know, that's from the full squat position where your hip joint is even with the top of your knees. I could get out of the hole, and I'd get out of the hole, the first third of the lift would be done. My hips would start to shake a little bit and the bar would start to teeter from side to side. Now, sometimes I could lock it out if I retained my form. Sometimes I couldn't. I could always lock out the lift very easily because I trained, you know, very heavy lockouts and walkouts, and I focused on that part of the lift. I focused on the ground part of the lift, you know, during a period doing lots of box squats and low squats in different areas, you know, lots of quad development. But the guy came over, powerlifter, smart guy, you know, retired many years. And he said, listen, he's like, you got to be a rock, and a rock. You can't be a rock, a sponge, and a rock. And he basically just walked away. And that said everything I needed to know. I didn't give my abs, my core, the proper intense training that I needed. I was squatting, you know, 600-800 pounds at this point, and the average strong midsection just can't handle that kind of weight. And I needed to increase that, and that's what I did. I mean, I went nuts on increasing my ab strength. A great exercise that I found, you know, for ab development, for, you know, front abs, and will tie in. Your complete, you know, intercostals and obliques also, is that you take a high pulley, like you're going to do a lat pull down, stand and face the machine. Don't sit down. Take an underhand grip on the bar and do a crunch position. Now touch your elbows down to your knee, but don't move your hips. Keep your hips like you're about to do a stiff-legged deadlift, or even let your hips float back a little bit and do that. Think about a crunch. I'm actually doing it here. I'm pulling myself away from the microphone and coming back in again. It's a great exercise. That exercise is used, and it was, you know, I'm sure I picked this up from the guys over at Westside Barbell, like Louis Simmons and Dave Tate, really, you know, pioneers in the strength game. I mean, going back decades and still doing big things. This is one of their exercises that I found was freaking awesome. That gave me huge, huge progress. And it's one of the favorite exercises I do now. And sometimes, so now you got your two hands, underhand grip on the barbell. You're doing the crunches, trying to go elbow to knee. Or you can get a single cable. Single handle, and just do single arm down to the side. Now I can go down to my, you know, same side knee, my far side knee. I could go take it to the side all the way and go to the outside, try and go to the IT band where that inserts into my knee just to have that concept full oblique work right there. So, Christopher, I took your question about having abs, and I really kind of skewed sideways to talk more about not just the abs, so you guys can really get a good full picture of the complete. It's a barrel. From your belly button all the way to your spine and continuing all the way around that circumference, that is a barrel. That's your abs, not just those six little muscles that you see the Abercrombie and Fitch dudes on the billboards. Those aren't abs. That's just a skinny dude. You want to have a built, complete midsection. I mean, think about a muscle car. You want to have a freaking muscle car wrapped around, big frame wrapped around. And when you start losing weight, you get to lower body fat levels, those muscles will stick out. They will pop out. And for guys like me, I was 280 pounds. Now I'm 195. That's 100 pounds now. I mean, I went down to 170, so it was over 100. It was 110. And now I bounced, you know, 80 or 90 or pounds so below. I need to fill up some of this skin. I mean, 280 pounds, I was a triple extra large. Now I'm a medium to a large t-shirt. You think about that. Now my skin, due to, I believe, extremely quality nutrient intake, very vital antioxidants and all sorts of other nutrients, consistently living the right lifestyle, my skin was able to respond and react very well and shrink wrap back to where it should be. But if I was always lean, if I never stretched it out, I would probably look leaner than I do right now, or that I need to work on some sort of electrolyte manipulation, sodium and potassium and, you know, just what have you, you know, bring in some, you know, natural herbal diuretics, which I'm an advocate of herbal diuretic sources like dandelion. That's simple. That's easy. Dandelion tea is amazing. Green tea is also helps very well. You know, and Christopher, I'm still talking to you here, buddy. I'm still on your question, but we're having this whole big conversation now about abs and midsection and the core and training and now diet and lifestyle aspects and skin types and body types, because we all don't have the same apps. You know, some people have, they have the perfect stacked boxes. Boom, 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 boom. It's like three boxes on top of the other, side by side, split down the middle, perfect midsection. Most of us don't have that. You know, most of our abs in the front are kind of like a turtle shell. It's like a fingerprint. Abs are like, one is high and one's kind of sideways, and I only have four. And it looks like this guy has 12. You know, so it's all different. You know, what really matters, what I suggest and recommend, is just train completely. Train for function. Train for strength. We should always be getting stronger. But the strength doesn't always have to be in the 1-3 rep range. We can be training to get stronger in the 30-minute, in the 4-hour range, to push paces like that. We're always training to get stronger, to get better, specifically in your abs. So you got to make train an ab, do an ab day. And it's not just that light stuff on the floor, the aerobic style. It's not just calisthenics. It's hard. It's dirty. It's with weights. It's big, heavy weights. Like those pull down. Try those pull down abs. Freaking awesome and amazing. And it's deadlifts and it's squats, keeping your core super tight. It's just so many different things. And we can talk about that more, you know, more ab work, ab exercise. And there's a shitload of them in Living Lean. I have ab exercise and even ab workouts complete in there. And we do have some weighted exercises. There's a video online that I have on the Dolce Diet. And look at our video page. We have a couple of videos up there from our YouTube account. But I think we have one of Tiago Alves doing a guard sit-up, which is an ab exercise that we use. And it's weighted. And it's awesome. It helps build a complete functional strength range. Good for athletes. Or, you know, women love it too. It's a good strength building core, you know, kind of all-in-one exercise. I mean, you can do a bunch of those and just be done. You know, do a bunch of those for 20 minutes. You're done for the day. All right, guys, to finish off, let's talk a little bit more about motivation, right? Everybody's doing real well. We're getting all the feedback now. Facebook page is exploding. Our inbox is always overflowing. Twitter page just continually retweeting and interacting and seeing what you guys are up to and what you're saying. Motivation is getting better now. Everyone's talking about skewing. You're talking about moving forward. You're talking about earth-grown nutrients. We're seeing that all the time now. You guys, you get it. And we want to keep it going. We got to keep it going. So now, how do we keep the motivation going? You're seeing a little bit of progress. You know, your actions are starting to produce results. Now what? What's next? Now we keep pushing forward. Now we start to set new goals. Goal one is just to get going. Just start. Well, we've started. We've seen progress. Positive forward motion. Perfect. Now we set goals. What's the next goal? I'm going to lose 5 pounds this month. I'm going to lose 10 pounds in the next 2 months, 3 months, maybe 40 pounds. Maybe I'm going to run a 5K half marathon. I'm going to join the local basketball club. I'm going to start surfing again, or maybe paddle boarding. I'm going to have my first MMA fight, boxing fight, kickboxing fight, jiu-jitsu grappling match. Maybe I'm just going to enter or sign up to a jiu-jitsu school or an MMA gym. Or a CrossFit gym, swim club, anywhere. Point is, guys, get up, get out, get moving, start living for real. Now you're eating a little bit better. You're sleeping a little bit better. You're smiling a little more often during your day. Awesome. Now what? Now we keep moving forward, push it forward. Set goals, targets, ways to be successful. Let's set ourselves up for success now. What do I want to do? What makes me most happy? What do I have to do to get there, to do that better, to do more of it? What else can I do? Well, that's what we're doing now. It's motivation. And look around. So you know you can do it now because you're doing it. And you're not doing it perfectly yet. That's all right. I'm not doing it perfectly. Shoot, I don't have a perfect day. I haven't had a perfect day yet. But each day is just a little bit better, most days. Just a little bit better. You know, that's my goal. That's what I'm grinding for. Just 1 inch, 1%, one step. One choice better every day. That's the goal. And that's the motivation. You see the progress. You see the results. You see how easy and efficient and enjoyable it is. And then you want more. That becomes the addiction. That becomes the food habit or the cigarette habit or the, you know, the beer and the chip and the salsa habit. The, you know, trips to Applebee's or Subway or, you know, whatever. That's the old unhealthy habit. We kicked it with the new habit of success. Now we're successful. Now we're seeing progress. We can see the light now at the end of the tunnel, the dark fat. pasty tunnel. Flubber. Remember Flubber? We're not Flubber anymore. Flubber's deflating. Nope. 1 ounce at a time. 1 gram at a time. One little bit at a time. That's what we're doing. So that's what I want you guys to do. I want you to focus on now that we're doing it. We're doing it. It's successful. You've been doing it for a few weeks now. I think this is our third week of the Mike Dolce Show. Some of you, half of you, it seems, are sticking with us. And we got a whole nother. We doubled the audience since the beginning. So some people are new. Jump back, start at episode one, go all the way through. In the beginning, it was a little more ranting, trying to find my voice, learn the podcast, learn the show. And we found in short period of time what you guys want to talk about. And that's what I'm talking about right now, because we've been seeing lots of questions about motivation coming in through all of our different accounts and our different pages, our different outlets. Everybody wants to know, how do we stay motivated? And this is how you do it. Go back and listen to the episodes again. There's kernels of stupidity in there. But there hopefully are some questions of people just like you that I might have given them answers. And it's just one thing. I might have added one thought, one concept, one suggestion, one tool, one recipe, one workout program that helped them, that might be able to help you. And then we'll just keep going forward, keep the conversation going forward. So contact me on our Facebook page, The Dolce Diet. Always feel free to hit me up on Twitter at The Dolce Diet. What else? TheDolceDiet.com. That's kind of the main site. The MikeDolceShow.com is up running, and we're going to tweak that a little bit here soon. And also, MyDolceDiet.com. That is a social networking site. It's awesome. It allows people to interact directly. We have different groups up there, workout groups and recipe groups, which is really popular and it's fun, where people take the Dolce Diet Living Lean recipes and they show their own version of it. They lots of photos and really, I mean, just good vibes, good energy. I mean, if you like to cook, I love to cook. I mean, obviously. And then people, their takes. And I love seeing your take on my recipes, because that's what it is. I mean, come on now. That's the whole point. I'm a coach. I'm coaching you in the kitchen. I'm coaching you how to, make things, how to create things, how to feed yourself, feed your family in a nutritious but delicious way, delicious manner. So check us out on My Dolce Diet. I am starting to get on there more often now that I have a little bit of traveling. Going to Anaheim this weekend for the UFC. Excited about that. We'll talk about that. We'll do a wrap-up with the Bob when he's back next week. That's a big card. So everybody, check out the UFC this weekend on pay-per-view. I believe there's going to be a bunch of live fights on Fuel and probably FX. Check out that stuff. And then, when we get back, we're going to keep it going. Motivation. I'm going to have some good tools next week. You had the Thiago Alves interview this past week. Go back and check that out. Trials and triumphs. That kid's story is amazing. And we didn't get too crazy into the MMA stuff. We talked about his story. His story is freaking inspiring. So anybody, if you're looking for motivation, get done with this podcast and check out yesterday or the last podcast, episode 13 with Thiago Alves. Next week, Sean Williamson, we've been playing phone tag with him just a little bit. And that's our fault for not, getting a good time locked in just because, again, I have been traveling quite a bit trying to get these podcasts done. And we want to make sure Sean has all of our time and attention. So we're going to get him on here next week, talk about his 150-pound-plus weight loss using Living Lean. In a year, and he put those photos. He sent us the photos, and he sent us the his story. And we reposted some of it on our Facebook page and on thedolcediet.com. I think on My Dolce Diet also. So on everywhere. Apologize, guys. Just check out those sites. You'll see it. Holy, talk about inspiring. I'm inspired now. Seeing his transformation is amazing. It's freaking amazing. It brings a smile to my face as I'm sitting here talking about it right now. I love to see that stuff. So if you guys have any sort of inspirational success story that you've done yourself, send it to us. Post it on the Facebook page. Put it on the My Dolce Diet webpage and just let us know, because we want to see it. And share your story with other people just like you, because that's what it is. I'm kind of the portal to help share your voice. That's what this show is. I mean, that's what I talk about. I answer questions to the questions that you have. And if I have some information that might help you, well, awesome. So if you have your own answer, you've done it, send the photo, 5 pounds, show a recipe, a before and after, a year later, 3 weeks later, first MMA competition, did you do the Tough Mudder? Things like that. We get that stuff all the time, and talk about inspiring. I mean, it's just inspiring to see that stuff, to see these people, especially when you see kind of the before. And then you see the after and what they're doing. They've lost, 46 pounds, and 6 months, after 6 months, they go into a Tough Mudder competition, or they do a 5K or a 10K. That's freaking really cool stuff. So send that stuff. And I want you to motivate me. That's the right. You can see, hopefully here. I mean, just talking about this stuff inspires and motivates me and brings out my passion. This is what I love to do. I love to see people succeed. That's my job, is to help you guys succeed at whatever I can do to help. I'm here to help. Sharing information seems to be the best way to do it. Thank you guys once again. And we will be talking to you soon. Remember, don't count calories. Make calories count. Boom.
The Mike Dolce Show.
Cause you can't, you won't, and you don't stop. Cause you can't, you won't.